Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Seize the world on kaya959.
Now, another story that came out over the weekend is the World Bank asking South Africa to ease two things. One, our labor laws, and two, well, our BEE requirements, because they feel that would get more investment that way. I then responded to it. I said, well, what good is the investment if majority of the people in the country don't get to benefit from it? And I must say that the implementation of BEE specifically, which is affirmative action, has not been perfect. In fact, it has been catastrophic.
Yeah.
But that's an implementation issue. The policy in itself is very much needed. And I don't think we should do away with it.
Over-reliance on Bretton Woods institutions, your IMFs and your World Banks, will have them dictating policy to you. Mm. But then I looked at BEE itself and said, as a policy, very great, was intended to ensure that there's broader economic participation of the black majority, but poorly implemented. And because it hasn't been implemented so well, it's led to many people, whenever there is a conversation, to say, you know what, discard this. And so one can say, because of corruption, you had only a few being able to participate in the economy. Many black South Africans are still on the periphery of this economy. So when you have the IMF or World Bank coming to say, ease this, who can defend BEE actually? And that speaks to the African National Congress, that here many people, well-meaning policy, but many people will not defend it when it's the first target to say, let's do away with it, because it really hasn't translated into the intended results, unfortunately.
And so we're joined on the line by a good friend of the show, Zukas Tsole. We often speak about how lopsided our economy is. And there's a term in economics, trickle down. It doesn't usually work out that way, does it? People come, they invest, the GDP may even grow, but what tends to happen is inequality grows more than anything. The rich become richer, and the poor actually don't benefit much from it. Kaya?
Good morning, and good morning to everyone. Yeah, it is the problem with capitalism. Capitalism, it tends to work very well for the incumbents, so those that already have some form of economic participation tend to benefit from the upside of things working well. So in the case of South Africa, where so many people are excluded, you kind of then have a problem that even the better times or the good times that we see tend to be associated with those who are already within the system, seeing the benefit, and those that are outside being perpetually excluded. And that's really just, unfortunately, how capitalism it works. And that's where you then need the state to have particular policies that then seek to widen the reach of these benefits. And in the absence of that, you'd simply have runaway concentration in the economy and deepening inequality.
Yeah. And maybe let's ask this then, right? If indeed people are looking to invest in South Africa, but the deterring factor or the deterrence is the fact that they feel that our labor laws are maybe too strenuous, or they feel that maybe BEE is not being implemented in the right way, does it then not speak to the fact that those that want to invest in South Africa are actually seeking to exploit South African workers? Because what issue do you have with strict labor laws if you're going to treat your workers very fairly and equitably?
Capitalism is capitalism. So the issue here has always been a comparative analysis of the ease of doing business. So even this report is actually a comparative case study. So what they do is that they look at an average way in which one onboards a worker in the South African context, they compare to other markets. Then they say there are a bit too many steps involved here. And more importantly, when you're then trying to offload a worker because of performance or any other issues, there are far too many steps involved here. So the problem here is that whenever you're looking to make an investment decision, there are always costs associated with it wherever you look. What you then want to be able to do is to balance the upside and the benefits and say, well, in spite of the difficulty in relation to this particular policy, there still remains such a lucrative investment decision. We are going to bear the pain and actually still invest there. So when you don't then offer those sufficient upsides, then people tend to then get fixated with the downside. But every economic jurisdiction has got downsides associated with local rules and regulations that everybody has to adapt to.
Mm. And so then I guess the last question will be, fine, you are doing a comparative analysis, but some of these nations that you're comparing us to such as maybe Singapore or even China, etc. and so on, they don't really observe much rights for workers in any case. So what is it that you're comparing us to?
Well, that's easy, simply because the upside associated investing in those countries is, again, so beneficial, people simply tolerate the rules as they are. So if you look at the growth patterns of countries like Singapore, even China, every investor will say that, look, once you've dealt with all the headaches associated with being there, the benefits, if you look at the growth patterns out there, are still so high, we are still going to we're still willing to tolerate whatever it is that we're being told to comply with there. So in an instance where the country doesn't offer much on the way of upsides, again, people tend to get fixated with the downside, and that's what happens in South Africa's context. Our growth patterns simply aren't the type of numbers that say whatever the rules are, come and invest here.
Well, that's where we're going to leave it. Thank you very much for joining us, Kaas Tsole. Let us know what your thoughts are at home. Should we prioritize investment over, for example, workers' laws, labor laws, equitable share in the economy? Or should we just rather take care of our own people first domestically, and then the investments will come later if needed? Give us a shout, 086-000-00959.
I think that they are very quick to ask us to relax the laws, because I won't say where I work, but the main issue is that when it comes to these reorganizations or these cutdowns where, you know, to drive shareholder, what you call it, benefits, it will always land with South Africa being one of the hardest countries that they can offload. So it really, really is something that the government should not relax on. Still one of the best in the world when it comes in comparison to our other peers in the organizations.
100%. We should never shy away from affirmative action. More especially because even once the money has been made, right, and the return has been given to investors, the investors never take that money and plant it back into the economy to make sure that it's more equitable conditions now. They just keep taking and taking and taking. There's never been anybody who goes, hey, you know what, actually, as we're having a discussion in the first hour, maybe let's triple minimum wage now that this company has made so much money. If anything, just pay more dividends. So nah.
Honestly, I just feel like, let's take care of our people first and the investments will come. Because if they're trying to dismantle the labor law that is protecting us from so many discriminations, especially in the corporate, the discriminations there and the mistreatment that we get from, you know, corporate South Africa is really bad. So if they're going to go do away with the laws that is protecting us, then we are going to be in serious trouble as, you know, the ordinary citizens that rely on these corporate jobs, you know, to get by. Yeah, let's just take care of our people first and then investments will come. Because if their criteria for investing in our country is saying let's allow for people to be, you know, unfairly treated in the work environment, you know, all of that, then it's not really worth it in the long run.
Don't even get me started about the conditions that come with this foreign money, right? Horrible conditions that in themselves cripple economies. I've never seen anybody turn around and say, oh no, IMF, look at this whole country collapsing. Why don't you ease the restrictions and conditions on them? You see?
Nah. I'd say always get the basis and the basics right. Take care of the people. Meet as much as possible the needs of the people. Because no matter how good the economy they'll strive to make it, if it doesn't benefit the majority, that is just a volcano waiting to erupt sooner or later. So, yeah, it just wouldn't make any sense for me. Thanks, Busiso.
Thank you very much for that, Busiso.
You know, if you're actually being honest, yes, the BEE, yeah, something that we can't really write home about as a country. But if anything, I actually feel it actually needs to be more. 30% is so little. Maybe have 30% towards, you know, the black companies, and then maybe even raise it by 20% actually probably goes to the states. Maybe that's another way to actually raise funds. And if you're being honest, yes, the labor laws are there, but if people were to truly come out there and talk, sometimes it's as if they're not even existent the way they're actually being treated out there.
I totally agree. Our country shouldn't reduce the labor laws. They're very good at protecting us as workers. I'll give an example. Walmart, which has taken over the country's stores, has actually half their staff in South Africa. In fact, they're even taking jobs away from South Africans and moving them to India. So no, definitely they shouldn't. Those countries that come invest here don't have our best interest.
People like saying that BEE doesn't work and affirmative action doesn't work without realizing that most of us that are working in corporates are the results of BEE and affirmative action. That when I was hired in this company, I was hired because I am female and I am black. And all my progression has been because I am female and I am black. And I was part of the EEE, the Employment Equity Committee at work, and I ensured that we meet our EE targets. So there's this big narrative in South Africa that BEE doesn't work. Yes, maybe there's under government, there's something happening, as my understanding. There's corruption. But in corporates, it's really, really helping us. And we should really not allow any organization to come into this country and tell us they are not going to abide by our labor laws or our BEE.
100%. And in fact, what most people who are short-sighted like to then say is they go, oh, so you're advocating for people to be hired on racial lines rather than merit. No, that's not what we're saying. Right? Affirmative action doesn't exist in the absence of merit. We are saying that because people were previously disadvantaged, they don't get the opportunity to showcase their abilities so that they can get an opportunity based on merit. There's a very big difference between those two things. If we're going to be honest, there are a lot of people of color who are exceptional, way better than white people, for example. But you'll never know about it because they are never given that opportunity. That's why affirmative action exists. Just simple as that.
According to me, I would say let's focus on fixing our country internally, stick to the current laws that we have, etc., etc. Because let's be honest, South Africa is better developed than its African counterparts purely because of the exploitation of blacks during apartheid. We need to be honest about that. So now what we are going back is to, we're trying to go back to rules and regulations that are similar to apartheid, where our people will be exploited again. So we need to be cognizant of that as well, that we don't reintroduce what we fought to get rid of for years. That's my feeling.
100%.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.